the sand, just desert and dunes. And within, between two of the dunes, there was a fountain. Very simple fountain, no barriers around the fountain. Nothing keeping anything out and away from the fountain. And then God showed me, quite a distance from this fountain, there were people desperately in need of water. And they were sailing like on their stomachs, like lizards, scorched by the sun and the wind, desperately seeking for this fountain. But they were so far off, they couldn't hear the bubbling of this fountain. And they couldn't even smell the fountain, the freshness of the fountain. And then God showed me, in this desperate attempt of these people to reach the fountain, how were they going to get to the fountain? How are they going to know where the fountain is? Who's going to show them the direction? Isn't that where we come in? So, seeing that those of us who are born again know the fountain, because that fountain is always fresh, it's bubbling. Very simple surroundings, nobody's being kept out. Always fresh, always bubbling. God never sleeps and God never slumbers. David says when he goes to sleep, God is there. When he wakes, God is there. The fountain is always day and night. So how are those people going to get to the fountain? Let us make use of the opportunity. God wants us to show them the way. You know? Hey, the fountain, this way to the fountain. No, you at the back. Come, this is the way to the fountain. Even though some of them might be, you know, sort of clapping you or not, you know, don't want anything to do with what you're saying to them. We get that. People who've been in the sun, scorching sun for years, they want to do their own thing. But guys, weren't we all there once? Weren't we all there in the scorching sun? And what did God do? He used people to show us a direction. By His grace, He showed us the way. And I just want to read this to you because there's an encouragement here also for God's people. Isaiah 55 verse 1. Now listen carefully. Wait and listen, everyone who is thirsty. Come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy priceless spiritual wine and milk without money and without price, simply for the self-surrender that accepts the blessing. God wants His children to enjoy the fountain. Let us refresh ourselves like kids playing in water, refreshing ourselves. Listen to this gem, and this I close with this. Revelation 21 verse 6. And He further said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I myself will give water without price from the fountain of the water of life. Isn't that fantastic? I really want to encourage us all to refresh ourselves again. Thank you.
Thank you. Joe's actually going to bless us with a song as the ushers take up the offering. Please just stay in a attitude of worship as Joe. Lord, what a privilege, God. Lord, You are the living water. You are the source, Lord. There is nothing, Lord God. We've tasted and we've seen, Lord, and there is nothing that compares with You. Father God, we just commit this service to You this morning, Lord. We commit our hearts to You this morning. And Father, we've come to the well to drink this morning, and I pray that You would open up our mouths wide to receive, Lord. Father, I pray for the children that they would be, that as they worship You in their own little groups, Lord God, that they would receive from You this morning. And Lord, I just want to bring the bells before you, Father God, as they've gone on their mission, Lord. Father, I just thank you that Delesti and Johnny, Lord, go according to your purposes, Lord. Father, we cover them right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that they will run and not grow weary. Holy Father God, I thank you that they would experience you like never before, Lord. They would have that intimacy with you, Lord, that they crave their entire lives. And Lord, that you would use them mightily. Father, that you would give them such great discernment, Lord. Words of prophecy, God. Father, and we just cover them right now with the blood of Jesus. We hedge them in, and we thank you that nothing will come against them in Jesus' name. And Lord, as a body, I thank you that we will pray for them these days that they are gone, Lord. And we look forward to good news and good tidings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you. I just want to welcome you all here this morning. It is my privilege and my honor to be bringing the word this morning. Nice to see some faces we haven't seen in a while. So I really hope the Lord blesses you, as he has with me with this word. When Gerard phoned last night to ask me if he could give this word, I was so blessed. Because this word's been sitting on my heart for quite a while, and it's been taught for 2,000 years. I mean, Jesus taught it, and he urged his disciples time and time again. And when he just told me that he had this word, I just knew it was confirmation. But then, to make matters even better, Yanni got the newsletter from Fred, that's our senior pastor in Stellenbosch, and it was the same word. And so I was just so blessed. So I believe this to be a word for now. And I just really hope that the Lord gives us a revelation of this. The topic for this morning is church unity. I had the privilege of being taken out on a date on Thursday night. Okay, my gorgeous husband took me to see Riverdance. Now, some of you might know that I actually was like not complaining, I was like, oh, Riverdance, ew. I'm now converted, don't worry. But yeah, we had a very incredible evening, Riverdance and falafel. That's like hugely cultural in one evening. But this group of people really amazed me. I don't know, has anyone here heard of Riverdance or seen them? You know, it's not even just the level of energy they have, but this incredible choreography and unity. And you know, I mean, it's an amazing show all around. A little bit off, okay, just that's like for the record, okay. Well, no, look, it's Gaelic, and they worship the stars and the moon and the sun and all of that. And so we'll forgive them for that. We'll lead them to the well. But on the whole, the choreography and the unity in dance made it amazing for me. I just really, honestly, and because I'd been mulling this word in my heart, you know, while I watched them dance, I was like, Lord, look at what it looks like when we are united. So yes, this morning's word is on unity, on being united. I looked up the word unity, and the word is the quality of and or state of oneness or harmony. The Greek word, and you know I love the Greek words, symphonia, okay? It means to sound together, to be in accord. And that's where we get the word symphony, because, you know, everything comes from the Greek word, of course. So that's where we get the word symphony. And that's what it looks like. As I watched those people dance, I said, like, Lord, that's what it looks like when we work together. It's a symphony. It's perfect. It's beautiful. When the one person dances, it's great, and you can admire that gift. But, you know, they can't go on all night. They couldn't do those moves over and over. It would just be repetition and boring, you know what I mean? But when that group comes together, that's when the power comes. So Paul compares the unity that Jesus Christ is talking about to the body. He says we are the body of Christ, okay? And as a body, we know that we're made up of many parts. We have very many giftings. There's not just one person, one kind. There's not just the thumb. Imagine if we were just the thumb. Can you imagine? Life, not very exciting. But we are made up of various parts of the body. Now, I just want to direct you to the word. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. We should have it there. Okay. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share that same Spirit. And I'm just going to direct you to two more scriptures there. Philippians 2. Paul says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord. of one mind. And in 2 Corinthians, finally, brethren, be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. I really do believe that's what Christ is talking about. He's talking about the body. We have lots of different aspects of the body. You know, we've got lots of different giftings amongst us that he's gifted us freely. And that's what it looks like, I think. All right. So we understand what it is. But do we understand why? Because I believe that if we understood why, it would have happened by now. As I said, this message has been taught for 2,000 years. Do you think we would have got it by now? I don't think we've got it. And I'm really hoping we'll get it today. John 17, 21 to 23. Just pop to the next one. Yeah, okay. Here Jesus is praying, and this is recorded as one of the first intercessory prayers that Jesus actually made while on earth. As you know, the word says he is an intercessor. He is interceding for us even now. But in this prayer, he prays with such earnestness from his heart. He says, I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. Our first call to unity is for this very fact, evangelism. I know that many of us have a heart for evangelism, to go out and tell the people about hell. But how about we show the people what heaven looks like? How about we do what he said, which is show them by our love? Our unity will be a powerful witness to the reality of God's love. Unbelievers will become believers. But they must see, the unified church in the world will show people what God was trying to put in our hearts. It says, only the obvious and visible unity of believers will convince the world of the divinity of Jesus Christ. And only the sight of united disciples will convince the world of the truth of Jesus, his mission and his message. In John 13:35, he says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And what does the word disciple mean? It means a follower, a student, a believer. So, if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that it was by divine order that he came and he died for our sins, then we too follow in Jesus' footsteps. He said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. But now, I've got some rewards for you guys. I showed you a Coke ad, now I'm going to give you sweets. What is love? What is love? Okay, I'm going to ask you some questions. John, would you die for me?
No.
Rosita, would you die for me?
I don't think so.
I don't need to ask anyone else. I'm hurt enough. I want to challenge you this morning. Who in here knows what John 3:16? Be careful with this, Andre. I don't want you to go to the next slide. You can just show us John 3:16, if you will. Okay. No, wait. No, don't show it yet. Who knows what John 3:16 says? Okay. Who knows what John 3:16 says? Hold on.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten.
Okay, hold on. There we go. Thank you. Anyone else?
Can someone carry on?
If whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting
life. Okay, amen. That's John 3:16. Now, two sweets. Who knows what 1 John 3:16 says? Two sweets. Okay, three. No. I'm seeing the Bible sneaking. Okay, can we just speak John 3:16 together? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Anybody take us on 1 John 3:16? Okay, do you want to speak it? Can you come up here? Yes, that's 1 John 3:16. Can I read it to you? If you can put it up. It says, this is how we know what real love is. Jesus Christ gave up his life for us, so we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters.
got to learn to die for me, dude. If we say we believe in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and we love one another, we are obeying His commandments. That's all He's asked us to do, is believe in His Son and love one another. Which brings me directly, He says here, can I read it to you? He says, lay down your lives for your brothers so that the world will believe He sent us. That He sent us. Okay, which brings me to the next one, the Great Commission. Point two, why we need, wait, hang on, we need some sweets. Does anybody want sweet? Very good. Okay. Can I throw them at you? Here we go. Okay, here we go. You got them. Okay. The second point is the Great Commission. We are called to go into all the world and make disciples. If you want to read it, it's in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. I'm not going to read it. It's a huge responsibility. It's enormous, the task. Can you imagine if we tried to take that on single-handedly? Go into all the world and make disciples. Now, to make a disciple is not to just share the gospel with someone once off. To make a disciple is to take that person by the hand and walk a road with them, to show them by your life, as Jesus did. Jesus spent 3 years discipling 12 men. Okay, it's impossible for us to do it single-handedly, but as a body, as that body, you saw what they did. Is it possible for the insects to steal a Coke from a man and share it? Of course it is. But anything is possible because we are the members of His body. Together we can obey more fully what any of us could do alone. I read this illustration, which really, just listen to this. It says, long time ago, a little child in an African tribe wandered off into the tall jungle grass and could not be found. The tribe searched all day, but could not find the little boy. The next day, the tribal members all held hands and walked through the grass together. This enabled them to find the child. But due to the cold night, he had not survived. In her anguish and tears, the mother cried, if only we could have held hands sooner. Eh? It's poignant. We need to be one because it's pleasing to God. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I know that in my heart I long to please my Savior. And He is pleased with our unity. Listen to Psalm 133. I just absolutely love this psalm. He says, how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountain of Zion. Harmony, unity, is compared to two things in this passage. Precious anointing oil. Fragrant anointing oil. It's a fragrance to the Lord. How many of you know that so many times in the Word you hear He talks about fragrance? God is a God who likes fragrance, and that our unity is a fragrance to God. It's an incense. And it's a refreshing as mountain dew. Isn't that gorgeous, eh? Okay, brings me to the fourth point, and this is 4 out of 6. Why we need to be united so that we may stand. Guys, take note of this one. He says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no division among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. He says, just like a family must have unity to prosper, so a church must have unity to survive and prosper. Jesus once said, if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. That's from Mark 3:25. I urge you, if a church cannot stand united, it cannot stand. It will not stand. To achieve unity, we must become like-minded, especially on the essentials of our Christian faith. And what are they? That Jesus talks about the doctrine of Jesus Christ. To accept that Jesus is fully human and fully God. To accept that He alone is the Lord and Savior. There is no salvation in anyone else. These are the fundamentals. These are our essentials. To achieve unity, however, there's got to be liberty on the non-essentials. Do we wear hats? Don't we wear hats? Do we call it Holy Communion or do we call it the Lord's Supper? We actually argue about the most ridiculous things. This is quite amazing. Have you noticed how the disciples, 12 men Jesus chose, 13 with Apostle Peter, but amongst them, the animosity was tremendous. I mean, there he was, the God of love walking amongst us. And they were arguing themselves, like, who's going to get to sit next to you in heaven? And do you know, I think it's Matthew. Yeah, Matthew was called a publican. I looked this up. Publicans worked for the Romans. They worked as tax collectors, and it's pretty much project managers. The Romans were building many projects at that time, building projects and that. And the publicans acted as project managers. And they became quite wealthy from collecting taxes for the Romans. Simon Peter, on the other hand, was a zealot. And a zealot, they were quite mean guys. They were like they were actually officially in history considered the first terrorists of all time. Okay, they were going to overthrow the Roman Empire by force. There hadn't been such a coup. And people like Matthew are exactly the kind of people he wanted to murder. And yeah, he was breaking bread with them on a daily basis. You know what I mean? So let's not think that they had it figured out back then. Don't think you've got it hard. I mean, don't think that it's hard to love the person next to you because, they just don't get me. Well, I'm sure these guys had a few issues, but you see, these were non-essentials. These are not essentials. They accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They called him Rabbi. They walked with him. They honored him. Just interesting to know that. So Satan hates it when we are united. That's the word that Gerard brought this morning. His biggest ploy is division in the church. He loves to keep us focused on ourselves. He loves to keep us focused on our gripes, on our offenses, on our issues, on the other people's weaknesses. He loves that. I had a very call yesterday. My little cousin, her name's Tammy. She lives in Durban. Some of you met her when we had that first free worship. She's got the gift of free worship anyway. That is a gift. Anyway, she phoned me. They recently moved to a new church, and it's about December they moved to a new church. But she actually is a teacher at the Christian school that belongs to her old church, and the teachers are sort of ignoring her, avoiding her, and she found out that they were told that they must watch out for her. I'm not going to mention the church's names, obviously, because it's not about that, you know. She phoned me in tears. She was like, Kat, these are the children of God. We're all together in this, you know. This is what we do. It's ministry. And you know, people get confused. I said to her, you know, babe, just look at, like I said to you before, look at Peter. And they fought amongst themselves all the time. But be patient. Be loving. We hurt each other without even knowing it. We hurt each other because we become afraid. Or there's this I was reading this book called Screwtape Letters. I don't know if any of you have heard of C.S. Lewis. It's quite a funny little book. And it's written between two demons, actually. And it's about the enemy to them is God. So they're writing about how they can get in the camp of the enemy. But I've paraphrased it just not to confuse you. But it says, the church being a place of unity and not of likings brings people of different classes and psychology together in the kind of unity the Lord desires. The congregational principle, on the other hand, makes each church into a kind of club. And often it breaks into splinter groups. I was at we had a meeting out, just to remind you guys, we're having the Ladies' Day of Prayer next week, Thursday, here at our church. Okay, I don't know why that was skipped from the announcements, but I'll talk about it a little bit again after. But we had a little meeting here to just talk about the organization, and there was representatives from all the different churches. And I might get my facts, so Betsy might have to correct me, but I found it hysterical when they introduced the different people. There was a lady, and they said to her, I'm not going to mention her name, but the church's name was they said, this is so-and-so from the Con Church. Was that right? Con? Yeah. Yeah, so she goes, no, I'm from the United Con. The others are the Con Church. And I just looked and I was like, we're a one little town and yet we've got a splinter church right here. I mean, the Congregationals and then the United Congregationals. And I'm not making fun of them because you know what? We all do it. We all do it. I sat there amongst them and I didn't feel like one of them. We're all the body of Christ. That made up the body and I felt like a sore thumb. You know what I mean? I thought that was funny. Okay. Which brings me to the next point, which is quite a harsh one. We need to be united to endure persecution. Guys, if it's not here, Jesus warns us. In Matthew 24:9, Jesus predicted the universal hatred of his followers before the end. Can I read it to you? Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. I'm not going to get too heavy here on you guys, but a lot of the Bible and Revelations sits and talks about the persecution of the saints. It talks to Christians who are suffering for their faith to endure and to be encouraged, to overcome. I'm not going to go into the, are we going to, you know, the rapture before, after, post-tribulation? Forget about it. Jesus warned us that we will experience tribulation. If we are not united, do you think that the saints in China and India get together and squabble about who organized the flowers for the foyer? Honestly, they have no foyer. They depend entirely on the Holy Spirit to tell them where the church is going to be. And when they get together, they celebrate because there's brotherhood and sisterhood and they celebrate family. And that is what persecution brings. That's not something we've experienced here in the Western culture. And it's made us numb to that. Joe, someone's saying happy birthday to you. So we need to be prepared. Dr. Malik said this to me the other day. He says, only in suffering are we united. But praise God, we can experience unity if we just ask. Only love and unity will work. Brings me to the last point of why. For power. Yep, power. Something we're sometimes afraid to admit that we actually want. The power of God to do what he wants us to do. Matthew 18, he says, I also tell you this. Take note, people. If two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three are together as my followers, I am there among them. I also read this other scripture, which is amazing. The scripture says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. There's another word for that word bound, and it's permit. Whatever you permit on earth is permitted in heaven. You have authority. God has given you power. And I think often we shy away from that because we think we don't know what to do with it. But you know what? If we got together and prayed, Jesus Christ here was talking about a time when he could be with all of us, not in body, but in spirit. And that time is now. Jesus Christ is living in us. And if we are filled with the Spirit, everything we pray will be in accordance with the Spirit. Therefore, he will grant it to us. Whatever you pray in line with the word, he will grant to you. Do you get that? Okay. So, just to recap, unity is oneness, one body of Christ. Why we need it? To evangelize, to fulfill the Great Commission, to please God, to stand, to endure persecution, and to receive power and answer to prayer. Yanni was talking about the Mighty Men. He said to me this morning, I don't know who of you have been to a Mighty Men conference. Anyone? Okay, some guys. And he does this cry where he says, Amen, and all the men shout, Amen. And apparently all the earth shakes and all the demons flee. And then he says, why don't you try that this morning? I said, yeah. I know Leonay will be screaming. But it is that one unit, that united, powerful prayer, that united shout against the enemy that will cause him to flee. And if we want to see change in this town, if we want to see change in this country, we're going to get united in our voice. Forget our differences. Forget liking, disliking. Okay, but now I'm going to teach you the most exciting thing. How? All right, anyone excited? Amen. Cool. The how is actually a bit of a surprise. You know, when I got to this part, I was like starting to think of like a bunch of things I could tell you to do, like be patient, be kind, be da-da-da-da-da, you know. But what I realized was one thing. We can't do this without God, without the Holy Spirit. Because if you start to read what he says, when Jesus prayed this prayer, he asked God to give us unity. He requested unity for us. means unity is given and is not achieved. It is indeed received, or Jesus wouldn't have urged the disciples to be one. He would have said to them, become one. He said, he looked to the Father and he said, grant to them the gift of unity. The unity of God's people can never be fabricated by man. It must be generated by the Spirit of God. So, to become united, we must receive this gift from God. It is done. It is finished. It's a gift. Secondly, by the Holy Spirit. True spirituality, true spiritual unity flows from the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. To build unity is one of the Holy Spirit's important roles. He leads, but we have to be willing to follow. To do our part and keep peace. Philippians 1:27b, stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. Stand in it, receive it. The Holy Spirit lives and dwells in you. He will make the changes that he needs. Being rooted in Christ. Again, I wanted to show you this, but I didn't. There's so many people that work with vines and grapes that if I'd brought the vine into the church, I think I would have got smacked. So I was going to go running around stealing vines last night, but I thought, no, better not. The third point is, and then I'm nearly done. I've got one more point. Being rooted in Christ. He says, I am the true vine. John 15:1. I am the true vine. This is Jesus, our Lord. He says in 5, remain in me and I will remain in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Then in verse 7, he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We cannot make these changes happen, guys. We can't do this. It's got to be like that father and son relationship. Jesus is in the Son, in the Father, and the Father is in him. And that is how we must function, from that place of being in Christ. We cannot love unconditionally without the Holy Spirit. That is why they will know we are his disciples, because, you see, the world cannot imitate this. We can get together and sing We Are the World, and we can get together and raise money for orphans, and that's great. That's super. But I guarantee you that they cannot show the real love of Jesus Christ when it comes to the crunch. Only the real love of Jesus Christ can be truly patient with one another, hurt with one another, rejoice with one another, celebrate one another's lives unconditionally. No jealousy, no strife. It says in Romans 15, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Jesus Christ, as Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. Brings me to my last point, having Christ's attitude and character. This is what we are called to. And this is your homework. I've got it, homework. Okay, Ephesians 4. Start from 1b. He says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. And again, that word binding, it goes back to, as I said, the word, it means allowing it. You have the authority in binding together. When you bind something, it is bound. Now I've lost my place. Peace. For there is one body, the church. Okay, this goes back again. These are the essentials of our faith. One body, the church. One Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. Amen. Heaven. Just as we have... There is one Lord, Jesus Christ, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all and living through all. I think if you just take that and eat that all week long, I really think you're going to see fruit in your life like you've never seen. But the thing is to be subject to the Holy Spirit. Subject yourselves to allowing Him to show you your heart. It's a scary thing sometimes to ask the Holy Spirit to show you your heart. It shows you haha things. Honestly, and I tell you, it happens all the time. But be quick to bring it to Him. Don't walk in condemnation. Bring it to Him. And then eat the Word. Eat the Word, and it will grow in you. And I'm just going to conclude. If we have the unity with Jesus and the Father, we will experience unity amongst ourselves, just like the branch living in union. Body of Christ, brothers and sisters, with one Father God, go in peace today. Agree with one another in prayer and doctrine. Truly love one another to the point of giving your lives. Pray for each other. Do not gossip. Do not criticize, but build one another up. Do not walk in jealousy, anger, or bitterness. Work together in humility. Give of yourselves. Exalt Christ. You are his disciples. Amen. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Okay. Thank you. I'm just going to close in prayer. And I just want to encourage you. This word is a time of, it's for now. Guys, we've got to get together. We've got to get together. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to honor you, God. Father God, without you, there is no possibility of us being united. Lord, we are from every walk of life. We are from different thoughts and different ideologies, Lord. But in you, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, living God, we commit to serving you in unity as one body, Lord. Lord, I pray that we will nurture the other parts of the body that are not ours. We are one together, Lord. I pray that we would pour over each other the balm of Gilead, the love of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God. We would pray for one another. And Lord, I pray for every person in this room. Lord, I pray that that word takes root. And that as we go today, as we go every day this week, Lord, and for the rest of to eternity, Lord, till we see you on that cloud, Lord Jesus Christ, the world would know us by our love, Lord Jesus. A love that is unconditional, that would die. Thank you, Lord God, for your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen.